Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, May 22nd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 83, reading the first full paragraph that begins with, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead, and ending with, our Creator showeth the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Betsy H. reading the text, Shelley E. reading page 164, and Jody E. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and announcements will be Lois P. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, May 21st, 2023, is 20,279 or 20279. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,281 or 20281. A late preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you for your service this morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R., grateful in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P. in Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Oh, thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 83. We are reading the first full paragraph that begins with, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead, and ends with, our creators show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Betsy H. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Betsy H., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fit the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And that is an interesting paragraph. I totally relate to that. I've had to make many amends as part of my 4-step and then as subsequent 10 steps because I always tend to screw up pretty often. And so I have to make amends and get back on track. And it is humbling when I have to admit my part. I just have to clean up my side of the street. I really don't need to worry about other people's side of the street. A lot of times I want to blame other people that, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. But in order to recover from compulsive overeating, it's important that I clean up my side of the street. And then with time, it becomes a lot easier. It says we must take the lead. That's right, because a lot of times the other people around us, they're not in a 12-step program. They may never make amends to us. That just
may not be a skill set that they have, but we're learning it. I'm learning it. So I take the lead and I clean up my side of the street. I take responsibility for the harms I did to people. And in a specific way, like it says here, I don't just say in a general sense, like, oh, sorry. You know, I say it a little more specifically, like, you know, I was really, I was rude to you yesterday morning, and I was inconsiderate, and I was starting to raise my voice, and I came to realize that this was, you know, this was a wrong way to do things, and I really want to apologize. And then pause and see what they say. Sometimes they'll come back with, yeah, and it was really terrible, and oh, and you're always doing this, and just kind of listen to that, and it might bring up more things that I did wrong that I need to make amends for. Who knows? It's humbling, but it really helps me to change the behavior. I really don't have to do that as much as I did before, and it leads to a much happier life, less emotions building up, and much easier to be abstinent and in recovery, which is the, you know, the top priority. So, yeah, it's interesting. We're cleaning a house with the family, and we're asking for our Creator to show us a way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love, which is like the opposite of the selfishness and self-centeredness that I would tend to be in when I'm in my disease. So it's a great way of practicing being a new way with people. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Betsy H. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And I'm going to get the first lineup, and if you could please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to read on this paragraph, or read, share on this paragraph?
Wendy B.
Okay, gotcha, Wendy B.
Kara B. from Michigan.
Oh, didn't catch your first name.
Kara.
Kara B.
Mm-hmm.
Great, got you. Who else? Do you have anyone else who'd like to share? It's a quiet Monday morning.
Bessie O.
Michelle
you.
F.
Bessie O. And Michelle
Rose
F. Rose T.O.C.
Joan Robin L., South Carolina.
Was that Joan Robin?
Correct.
L., okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We'll go ahead and get started with this lineup. So we've got Wendy B., Kara B., Betsy O., Michelle F., Rocio C., and Joan Robin L. And again, please let us know where you're calling from. So we'll go ahead and start with Wendy B., followed by Kara B.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And you know, at the beginning there, where it says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. And I just really like that acknowledgement, you know, that it takes a long time to rebuild relationships and become the person God wants me to be to them. You know, that I'm not expected to be instantly perfect, you know, the minute I'm recovered, you know, and I have deeply ingrained, you know, selfish ways of responding that takes time to become aware of them, you know, and to embrace new ways of relating and thinking. And the shares on meetings just really help so much, you know, giving me examples of what healthy ways of relating look like. You know, there's still things that surface from my childhood, you know, where I'm triggered to overreact in certain areas, you know, like when I'm blamed or when my voice isn't heard. You know, but I'm noticing big improvements, you know, the frequency, duration, and intensity are reduced, you know, and I'm more able to maintain neutrality when previously I would have overreacted. And, you know, I also like where it says, you know, we must take the lead, you know, and to me that means I no longer expect my husband to set the example of taking the high road, you know, to behave moral and do the right thing first, you know. I used to use his bad behavior as an excuse for me to behave badly, you know, but now, you know, I'm accountable to God for my behavior, you know, and he gives me the strength to do the right thing regardless, you know, of what anyone else is doing. And, you know, I mean, just like yesterday when my husband was, you know, acting badly and yelling and screaming and being mad at me and blah, 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 I was able to not respond in kind. And that was just, that was beautiful. And I'm so grateful for this program. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Wendy B. Next up, we have Kara B, followed by Betsy O.
Thanks so much. Hi, friends. My name is Kara B from Michigan, and I'm so grateful to be reading Recovery for today. I also appreciate that this acknowledges that it's a long period of reconstruction. I had no idea the damage that I was doing when I was in my disease. I thought the food was the problem, and it wasn't until I put the food down and got more and more clarity that I started to see the kind of damage that I did with my family. I'm so grateful that God loves me enough to show me what I'm doing wrong, even though it's not comfortable and it's not pleasant. It's so necessary because he doesn't want to leave me where I'm at. He wants my relationships to heal too. And the only way that those can heal is if he shows me what is on my side of the street, because that is all I have control over. I cannot control other people. I am by nature very codependent, and I want everybody else to change so I can be okay. But that is bondage. That's bondage too. As long as my well-being depends on what someone else does or doesn't do, I have no freedom and I can have no peace. And so the wonderful thing is he shows me what's on my side of the street, and he teaches me that way of kindness, patience, tolerance, and love day by day. And the way that he shows me that is every morning I ask him how I can love each member of my family and what that looks like. And that's often when I receive correction or direction as to what to do and how to do it, because I have no clue how to love my family. I think I know, but there's been so many times when I've done damage with great intentions. So I'm really grateful that he doesn't leave me alone with this either. God doesn't, you know, expect me to have relationship ideals that he's not going to help me live up to. I'm so grateful that the things that I'm powerless over, I can reach to him for strength and for guidance, and that he can change me with this too. And so just grateful for that today. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara B. And next up, we've got Betsy O, followed by Michelle F.
Good morning. This is Betsy O. It's two S's from Colorado. And I'm so grateful that we're reading this passage together this morning. Yesterday, my daughter had her high school graduation, and I discovered that she lost something that she borrowed that was precious to me. And as I sort of laid out, we're going to find this, I overhear my other daughter say, "Way to make it all about you, Mom." And it just, it brought me to, you know, because I could see, oh, right. This is, you know, when it says like their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. Absolutely. You know, so I was able to, you know, get back on course, walking toward God. A fellow helped me, you know, committing to following God's lead, letting go of the selfishness. And consequently, it was just an incredible day, including, you know, not just like a mumbling sorry, but like actually sitting down with my daughter and analyzing and her, you know, being, you know, my family knows what my spiritual ideals are. And I am so blessed that when I'm straying from that, you know, I hear that like, "Mom, way to make it all about you." And so I am just so grateful for this process, because you know, what we get in exchange is, instead of like seeking these outcomes, I get to grow. I get to grow in love, patience, tolerance. And what I want to do is I want to control my environment. So when it says the long period of reconstruction, the way I can go with that statement is like, here, let me get sober, use program to make everybody be just so, and then I'll feel okay. Rather than, you know, just that radical acceptance, the problem when I am disturbed is in me, you know. So we clean house as a family, ask each morning in meditation. That's just such beautiful, like, who am I around for that day? You know, how do I fall short? And God, how would you have me be in these relationships? So I'm really grateful to be here with you all this morning, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much. And sorry about that, Bessie. That's Bessie, B-E-S-S-I-E-O from Colorado. And next up we have Michelle F. and Rocio C.
Hi, it's thank you for your service. It's Michelle F. as in Frank from Central Massachusetts. And I love this paragraph. It's a great reminder. It's a sobering reminder to me today that I do have a lot of amends to make to my family. And that, you know, they didn't want, the only family member that actually wanted my amends in the amends process was my youngest daughter. And she let me have it when I said, did I leave anything out? You know? And so I took notes. I took notes about how I could make it right. And I need to go back and maybe look at the amends to my other daughter and my husband, the living amends I'm going to make and how I'm going to make it right. And maybe one day they will allow me to actually do a face-to-face amends with them. But in the meantime, I have to demonstrate that I'm willing to change. And it's also a reminder that they're not going to change overnight and that they may not. And that's something I have to accept. And a lot of the problems, my contribution to it is not accepting the way things are and people for who they are and trying to make everything my way so I'll feel okay. And, you know, when I finally accept something and I let go of it, I feel so much better, but I have to get tired of fighting. And, you know, I wish there were a shortcut so I didn't have to do that whole battling and struggling, but I am a hard head. This is the only way that I learn, you know. And, you know, it's so funny, the words clean house with a family. I was like, oh, I wish. That's another thing I had to accept is like, I'm a housewife. This is my domain. I have things that I want them a certain way. Not everybody else wants them that way. You know, like I had to get the adjustment in my head that I clean for me. I do these chores for me. I do all of this stuff for me. If my family joins in and helps keep the place clean, great. But only way I'm going to get that is by leading by example. You know, and I have so much work to do on myself. I really don't have time to work on anyone else or fixing anyone else or changing anyone else. And I need to put that like on a big sticker somewhere where I always see it, because I waste so much of my day getting upset over stuff that's little that other people do in this house that, you know, it's really not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. And I'll just say one more thing. I got to a point where I realized I needed more than just this fellowship to help me learn to live with my family members. so I, you know, I'll leave it at that. But the traditions are a great place to start practicing those in my relationships.
Gentle
and
reminder.
With that, thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle F. Next up, we have Rocio C., followed by Joan Robin L.
Hi, good morning, Rocio, compulsive overeater from Southern California. Thank you for all of your shares, very helpful. You know, I love this phrase, period of reconstruction. it's a process. It takes time. You know, I've been operating on self-will run riot for decades. It takes time to reverse behavioral patterns. It's a fantasy trying to reach enlightenment every day. So for me, home is the most challenging. You know, I have two teenagers. One is on the spectrum. He is my biggest teacher. He has no filters, and most often he will place, you know, he will put me in my place. So I have to pause before I react. The other day I heard that between stimulus being my environment, my external environment, and reactivity is space. So I have to live in this between, in this space. And for me, this space equals to God. So that's all I have to share for today. Thank you so much and have a blessed day.
Well, thank you so much, Rocio C. from California. Next up, Joan Robin L. And we need you to hit star one, Joan Robin. We can't hear you.
Hi, this is
all right.
Joan.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, perfect. Thanks.
This is Joan Robin L. from South Carolina. And I so appreciate the steps. I literally feel as if it saved my life. It saved my relationships. And I was remembering when I first did the steps, and I went to a former employer, and I came with a check because I was more interested in socializing than I was doing my work. And the Lord, or rather my higher power, gave me a number. And truthfully, I don't remember if he accepted it or he didn't, but I remember he was quite surprised. And I felt as if he was impressed. And he was wonderful about it. So I wanted to share that. That came to mind. I also want to share that I so much don't want to hurt people because of my stuff. And in my 10th step, I have asked my higher power to show me how not to do that or how to do it less. And my higher power showed me that if I spend time, particularly in the morning, doing my reading, and just being quiet and listening to what my higher power has to say, that helps avoid a lot of stuff, because then I get the download of where I am, and it's not uncommon where I need to get before I even speak to people or go out the door, as the case may be. And I wanted to share that as well. I have found that very helpful. And with life as it is, I find it not always possible to have that quality time with my higher power. And sometimes I get a day's grace from that, but it's my general morning routine to do the reading I need to do and to be quiet and listen to what my higher power wants to tell me. And it's not always you need an attitude adjustment. It could be a home variety of different things that my higher power wants to share. So with that, thank you for listening. It's an honor to be on the line. And this is Joan Robin L., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Robin L. And we're going to take another lineup. Before we do, though, if you've just joined us, let me know, or let me tell you where we are in the book. We're on page 83. First full paragraph begins with, yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead, finishes with, Creator, show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And if you would like to share on this paragraph, going to take some names, and I would ask, we ask that please, if you have shared over the last couple days, that you allow other people to share today. So that means if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any vision meeting, that you let others share their experience, strength, and hope this morning. So please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Laura W.
Jody.
New Jersey. IOA in Southern California.
Jody E.
I've
in
got,
California.
So I heard Haya A. from
it's
California.
Io. Io.
Oh, Io. Hey, Io.
Thank you.
And then I've got Jody E. And who else would like to share?
Hi, Jeannie N.
Oh, one more time.
Jeannie N. from New Jersey.
Jeannie N. from New Jersey.
Michelle S. from California.
Michelle S. from California.
Virginia J. from New York.
Okay. Virginia J. So I think that'll probably get us to the end. So I've got Laura W, Io, Jody E, Jeannie N, Michelle S, and Virginia J. So we'll go ahead and get started with Laura W, followed by Io.
Good morning. Can I be heard? This is Laura W.
You can be heard.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'm always having trouble with my AirPods. So this is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. What a great paragraph. You know, it says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. The word long period reminds me that this process of recovery does not stop. This is a continual, ongoing process that I need to work every single day, whether I am living in 10, 11, and 12, or whether I'm a newcomer just starting out. And for many years now, I've been abstinent for many, many years. But, you know, each day I've got to work on these character defects, these glaring defects that the criticism that I have of other people, the judgment, the anger, the resentment, those things pop up all the time for me. And so this long period of reconstruction reminds me that, you know, I can't have this done in a day. And I like to get things done immediately. Like if I have a task to do, I do it right away. My dad used to always say that no moss grows under my feet. And I thought that was a compliment. And it really, when I look at it now, it's, you know, I have knee-jerk reactions all the time to things. So I need to pause and slow down. And in that pause is where I find God. You know, I pause and ask my higher power, what do I need to do? How do you want me to make this amends? How do you need me to talk to my son, my daughter, my husband, my mother, my sister, my friend, the person at the grocery store, you know, who's taking too long in front of me? How do you want me to respond, God? And to reconstruct something is to rebuild it literally from the ground up. So the only thing that needs to change with myself when it comes to this program is everything. You know, I need a full reconstruction of myself. And the beauty of this is that there is no finish line. You know, there's every day I get a chance to do it over again and be better today. So that's my goal today, you know, be better than yesterday. And yesterday was a good day, but I know today could be better. I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful that I know that I'm responsible. My actions are the main part of my problems, you know. I set the ball rolling in almost every situation. So, God, please show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love today. And thank you for my recovery, and thank you all for being here. I pass.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. That was great. Next, we have Io and then Jody E. Io, you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Io A. from Irvine in Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful. I've been silent for like maybe 3 weeks now, just trying to listen, trying to take in how people are working the steps. And finally, I actually got to the steps. So we've been reading this for a while I was working my steps, and now I'm on step 8. And I've had some work that I need to do on step 8, and I haven't done any of it. And it was in this meeting that I realized that I don't feel ready to get on that path of reconciliation with so many people. And part of it is because I don't feel like I'm like reconciled yet with myself. I feel like, you know, part of it is that I have a friend who knows about this program, and in our last argument, she was kind of like, you're going to be coming and making amends to me, and when I want you to. And I think part of it is just me feeling like I don't want to make multiple amends to people. So, for example, I don't want to go to people, apologize, admit my faults, and make commitments about my behavior, and then regress, and my behavior is like right back where it was, and then I'm looking awful, like I was a liar. So I'm realizing, though, as I listen to people and I'm praying, that making the amends to people is part of how I'm going to be reconciled within myself, that if I don't practice the amends process, then I'm never going to see the evidence of my defects of character being removed. Somehow I was thinking I could just wait until they're removed and perfectly approach people and not have any defects. But I'm just hearing that this program is like lifelong, and that those defects can be removed, are removed. New things may cause me to make choices, but fear is not something that I can stay in, or I'll be paralyzed and not move forward. So I'm grateful. I'm 80 something days of abstinence, 30 pounds down, and grateful. So I'm just glad that this meeting is always here and I'm able to start my day with it. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Io, from California. Next up, we have Jody E., followed by Jeannie N.
Thank you so much, moderator. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., very gratefully recovered in California. So I love all the shares. So many good points. I love this paragraph. It's so true. And I'm just going to bring in that case where sometimes we have been abused sexually, verbally, physically. We've been truly, honestly abused. And what do we do in cases like that? What I did with my uncle, who was inappropriate with me when I was a teenager, I went to him and I told him that what he had done was wrong, but that I forgave him. And he made amends to me, and we had a decent relationship. We had a connection. We had a relationship, whereas perhaps otherwise we would not have had one. And shortly before he died, I visited him and was, I would say, loving and kind. And he was still a sex addict in his 90s. So there are those cases that require thoughtful consideration with our sponsor and with our higher power. We don't want to open ourselves up for further abuse by taking all the blame. So we are calm, frank, and open, and we need outside help sometimes too. I just wanted to talk a little bit about those types of situations. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jody E. And next up, we have Jeannie N., followed by Michelle F.
Hi, my name is Jeannie. I want to thank everybody for sharing, and I want to thank the moderator. I was in LA many, many years ago, but I never studied the big book and never really worked the steps, and I am absorbing like a sponge. I love this program. In the past, I used to just say, I'm sorry for the past, and that was the end of it. And now it's so different. I told my sponsor in this program in the beginning that I had just finished doing the steps in another program, another OA program, and I didn't think I needed to do them, but so much is coming up, so much. Where I wasn't able to see my faults so much before, with my higher power's help and my sponsor, I am seeing it now. And that first sentence where so many commented on, long time to build relationships. It takes a long time to change. There are a few people in my list that didn't want to let me make the amends, wouldn't talk to me. So my sponsor urged me to send letters, which he went approved of. And it makes me, and I am getting closer to my higher power. I thought I was so spiritual, but I'm finding there's so much more that I need to do. And the last thing I want to say is, in my relationships now, I'm trying to observe and not absorb. I'm trying not to react, and I'm trying not to let it stay with me where I would do a 10-step also. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you very much, Jeannie N. Yes, hi. Thank you so much, Jeannie N. All right, next up we have Michelle S. and then Virginia J.
Thank you. This is Michelle S. from California. And this is actually my first time sharing on these meetings. I'm not new to 12-step programs, but new to Visions OA, about 48 days, I guess. And I have worked the steps in different programs several times, but this time is very, very different, a lot deeper. It's hitting me like right between the eyes. I've done amends many times, but going through the steps this time and doing it this way, the way I'm doing it, it has been extremely powerful. And for the first, not first time, but, you know, I love that that we're reading, it takes a long period. There's a long period of reconstruction ahead that kind of lets me know it's not a race. You know, it's important to truly take a hard look at myself, my criticalness, my anger, my resentments. And I love listening to the meetings. I'm currently working on the fourth step, and one of the shares today, even though I've done a lot of work on past abuse, I realized just a few minutes ago, I have another resentment toward the situation, not the person, and that's powerful. It's hitting me, like I said, between the eyes, and God willing, Creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love when I'm dealing with my amends that I have to make, my step work, my defects, and my analyzing of my past. as I see it today. And I like that part in this paragraph. Thank you for letting me share. I pass. Michelle from California.
Thank you so much, Michelle S. And Virginia J., you're next.
Hi, Virginia J. from New York, a compulsive eater and bulimic, and very grateful to be on this meeting. I as soon as we started reading the paragraph, I laughed because I was doing a step 10 call prior to the meeting, and this is perfect. The step 10 I did, the person I was doing it with told me, maybe you want to make an amends to your husband. And literally the thought didn't cross my mind. So God is very funny because I'm laughing at myself. He's showing me that I need this program to remind me of everything. I need this program to teach me. And I've been resisting the program, and I find that when I don't resist, it's my whole perception has changed. And I also, the shares were wonderful. And I also got from this that I need to, before I do make my amends, which I will be doing, I want to take time and sit with God in silence and find the right words to use. And I'm just feeling very grateful today to be here. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you. We're grateful you're here too, Virginia J. from New York. We have time for like a minute and a half. Someone have a burning desire to share for about a minute and a half? Anyone want to close us out?
This is Barbara N. California.
I heard, is it Barbara N?
Barbara A. California.
Barbara A. Okay, Barbara, if you can keep it to about a minute and a half, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A., Central California. I love these last minute ones because it's my opportunity to say, yeah, God, this, you're telling me I can speak. And just want to say so grateful for this paragraph, for reading, for amends, and grateful that, as everyone has said before, this is a process. Every day I have the opportunity, God provides me the opportunity to bring people into my life and to make an amends every day. As long as I'm doing my steps, every day I have the opportunity to make amends. And not wanting to put it off, wanting to have that opportunity to practice. As I've heard before, steps 10, 11, and 12 is continue, improve, and practice. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara A. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley E., can you please read A Vision for You?
You bet. I'm here. Thanks, Stephanie, for your service. Cold and all, there you are doing your work. I'm Shelley, a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Arlington, Texas today. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.